Hello and welcome to episode 8 of Android Developers Backstage. I'm Chet Haas.
I'm Tor Norby and I work on the tools.
And today we have with us...
My name is Ficus Kirkpatrick. I work on the Play Store.
The Play Store. So this is the second episode in a row where we've talked to somebody from the Play Store, which you would think would be some sort of conspiracy. Instead, it's just... we just didn't get around to inviting other people. It just happened that way.
You need to read the email at least and send it to very carefully, you know.
Maybe the problem is not that we haven't invited other people, it's that no one accepted our invitation yet. So we're really happy to see you.
And why are you guys so desperate on the Play Store?
We just don't have a lot to do.
It is basically the same app as it's been the entire way, isn't it?
Like, yeah, I mean, that's the brilliance of it, right? I mean, we haven't really had to do anything to it in the past few years.
You have Kirill sort of change the color of the title bar and stuff like that.
If that.
Yeah. I've fallen for it. I thought there was like a complete rewrite every single release, but apparently not. So.
Yeah, a complete rewrite for some value of rewrite.
Okay.
A complete re-Kirill.
So you've been on the Android team for a very long time.
Yes.
Did you start on the market or...?
No. So I started actually when Android was bought by Google. That's how I came to Google. I originally worked on the kernel and device drivers and stuff like that. Wow. I got roped into working on Android Market years after that.
Oh, wow. So you've been on quite a few projects.
Yeah, I worked on the media framework for a while, just the bad parts. and I worked on the SMS app for a while. I kind of became an app developer by accident. I didn't like the SMS app. It was full of bugs, and I'd file bugs. People wouldn't fix my bugs. So and it kind of went from there.
So you were working on, okay, so you came in several years ago with the acquisition. You were working on kernel and device driver at that time.
Yep.
And then you migrated to SMS to fix bugs. And yep. You were on that until market, or you did other stuff?
Yeah, pretty much until market. I joined the Android Market team in the end of 2009.
Okay. Actually, that was right before I got here. I didn't realize you were so new. You just seemed so experienced and cocky.
Well, you know, not much has changed. Kind of like our app.
So the actual reason, it's interesting to talk about Play Store for every episode that we have, of course, but the actual reason that we thought we'd ask you here today was to talk about Volley. So I went to I.O. last year. I managed to get the golden ticket, and the key for anybody that wants to know, the key to actually getting to any conference is to actually give a talk, because that way you get a seat on stage. Otherwise, I would never be allowed to go. So I got to I.O. and you had a talk on Volley, and I probably spent the entire presentation sitting on my laptop working on my own presentation. But I saw that you had open sourced this library that you had used internally. Well, you developed it for your own purposes, nefarious purposes for Play Store, and then figured that other developers could use the same stuff, and you went to the trouble of open sourcing it, and it seemed like interesting stuff that developers should know more about. It was doing things that all developers run into, such as dealing with data-driven stuff and downloading bitmaps and caching information, a lot of network transaction stuff. So there's the segue. Why don't you tell
us what
Volley
is? Did you just prove that you
is?
Paid attention? Is that, was that, that long question was about summarizing to make sure actually, that we all know?
I was paging it in real time. Like, what was Ficus talking about last June?
Yeah, you can't see this. I think Chet's watching the video of my talk on his phone right now. I think like any programmer, you see like a class of problems and you see things repeating themselves again and you kind of feel this itch to solve them all at once. And I don't know if I was successful in that, but I noticed when we were working on, back in Android Market was when sort of the idea for the API and how to build it germinated in my head. I thought we were just doing these things in like what felt really convoluted ways inside the app to me. Like we'd download an image and then we'd want to cache it, right? Because the images, you know, you go back and forth in the app, you don't want to download the image again, make it fast. There was just like the code was so gnarly. Like the UI code would check to see if things were in the cache or not. That just felt wrong to me. Like I thought it could be totally seamless. Like my original idea was that the UI layer of the code should not know about the cache or not. If it's a cache hit, it should just be exactly the same but really fast. And so there was kind of a lot of refactoring I had to do. And we got things where it was good. The code was kind of specific, but again, I just sort of got the intuition that it started to look like nothing about this the networking infrastructure in the app was actually that specific to our code or to our app. And I was, you know, talking to other developers at Google, and you know, they're mentioning going through the same thing and working on the same bugs and implementing another disk cache. And you know, they're just like all these dumb mistakes you make, and you try to save people from making them again. Like we, for a while, we tried storing bitmaps in a SQLite database as a disk cache. And one day we discovered it was actually slower than going and getting them from the network again. So yeah, I did like actually I think a very light level of refactoring to clean it up and take out some of the stuff, and we started using it elsewhere inside Google. So there's like a lot of different Google apps that use the library now, and it had been open source for a while before I actually talked about it at I/O. Kind of quietly put it in AOSP almost a year before I talked about it at.
So it's AOSP, the open source license is the AOSP license?
Yeah, it's okay. It's AOSP. It's actually like its home base is AOSP. So, you know, we do like AOSP and Garrett for code reviews.
Oh, that's good.
It's developed in the open. Actually, it's replicated inside Google for internal use. But it lives in the open.
So where do people actually go? Like, is it you have to get the monolithic AOSP to get this specific library, or does it have its own location out there?
It lives in the AOSP repository, but you can just clone the project. Like, if you just git clone the project, it has everything you need.
Do you have, and here comes my tools question, do you have any plans to, you know, to supply this library as a Gradle artifact so that our new tools can just simply add a dependency on this and have it be auto-downloaded and all that stuff?
So, I'm pretty dumb about this stuff, to be honest with you. I actually spent the better part of a Saturday a month or two ago writing a new Gradle build file for Volley, and that's checked in now. I get a lot of requests from people who it's like they want to put it on Maven Central or what have you. I found that ignoring those requests was really effective because somebody else just went and did it. It's open source.
Okay, so there's a mirror. A lot of people are pointing to, are using this one. This one person made a project basically. So that's basically semi-officially endorsed by you then.
I didn't say that.
Okay.
So I think it's, you know, the way I use it when I've used it in personal projects is I kind of clone it, run make, and then put the jar in my file, which I guess is like gnarly and bad practice. But and for all practical purposes, Volley's pretty stable, and it doesn't get patched a lot. So keeping up with things is, it's suboptimal, I'm not going to lie. But it's not clear to me what the like Maven Central like good repository to put things in is, or how to teach that. So maybe I need some coaching from you on how to actually set that up.
We'll do that over a beer later.
Sounds good.
Sucking up to him. Also, I wanted to point out that you actually said you spent the better part of a Saturday working on Gradle support.
The rest of that day must have been pretty terrible. Yeah.
Well, or he just had such a good time doing it that maybe you want to keep doing stuff like that.
It's really slow. Like, I think it's really slow. Like, it just even like running a build and then having it fail seemed to take like a really long time to me. So that's maybe that's something else I should gripe to you about.
Because they store the build information in a local SQLite database.
So we talked a little bit about what Volley is, but I think not adequately. Yeah. So what's the elevator pitch for Volley?
Sure. So Volley is an HTTP library, but with a reasonably narrow focus. It's meant for things that behave kind of like RPCs. So it's good to point at your REST APIs. It happens to work pretty well for images. Basically small payloads. Like as soon as you start getting above the low hundreds of K, it doesn't work that well. And the reason for that, we actually use it for up to a megabyte or so, and it's fine. But the reason for that is that it doesn't do streaming. It holds like whole responses in memory for delivery. And you get something for that, which is that the code is pretty easy. Like you ask for a request to go out in the queue and you get back a response that's typed. You don't get back a string of bytes or something. You get back like a capital B bitmap in the case of an image. Mm-hmm. And Volley deals with stuff like scheduling, reading cache from the disk on a worker thread, or sending to the network on a worker thread, okay, or even doing bitmap decoding on a worker thread. You just think about the main thread.
I see. So it does HTTP communication and it does caching?
That's right.
Okay. Is there anything else? Or that's really the main thing. It's like, hey, give me some sort of a cached view of some remote connection.
Yeah, Volley's like, I guess at its heart is kind of a work scheduler. Okay. So it does things like request prioritization. It's hard to talk through a block diagram verbally, but you can give it prioritization. And it deals with all the threading and stuff for you. It also provides, I think, good... This all, to me, comes down to kind of scheduling and ordering of operations. But some really powerful things that it does are around, like, its semantics around cancellation. So one super common problem you have in an Android app is you make a request, and ultimately the request comes back and you want to do something to the UI. So then you fire off the request, and it takes some arbitrary amount of time, and then the user presses home, and your activity gets stopped. And then your request comes back, and you start fiddling with the UI, and your app crashes, because you're not allowed to touch the UI after on stop, right? So in Volley, because everything is so built around the main thread, we provide guarantees, like if you cancel a request, you are guaranteed to never receive a response for it. So the common pattern is, in your response handler, in whatever framework you're using, you're like, if on save instance state was called, or if this thing is null, then return early. So in Volley, kind of the right way to do your to do that kind of workflow is you just cancel the request in onStop, and then you can be guaranteed that you will your callback will never happen after it's too late for you to touch the UI. And there are ways to work around that, like if you really know what you're doing and you want to do, like, say a post operation or something where it's important to, like, you know, make the request continue to live, and you've kind of signed up and you've signed the waiver and said you're going to deal with it if you get called too late. There are ways to work around it, but that in concert with caching is actually really powerful, because you just have to stop thinking about the life cycle. Because if on stop you cancel everything, things are in the cache, like things like rotating the screen, you can just go ask for everything again. And because it's in cache, it's going to be instant and super fast. So you don't have to think about, like, a lot of these things where, particularly, like, rotation is one common pattern where you're trying to, like, pass a baton from, like, one lifetime of your activity to the next. You just don't think about it.
Hmm. So I have a couple of detailed questions which have serious danger of going into the weeds. But if you're talking about dealing with bitmaps, there's a couple of situations that come up. One is that you have different sizes images depending on the purpose of it, right? So you have a thumbnail in one representation of the app, you know, maybe as you're browsing the apps, and then when you go into the app, maybe there's going to be a larger version of the same image. Like, do you have the concept of, or maybe depending on the device, do you have the concept of, yeah, there's a full res image on the server that you're downloading, but you only need to see a thumbnail? Or do you download, like, one image and then you cache different sizes of it?
Yeah, so I'll just say my personal opinion is that a little fuzzy, that problem is actually best solved on the server. So if you have, like, a big, huge, like, 2,000 by 2,000 pixel image, and you're going to show it to the user as, like, 100 by 100 thumbnail, you're just wasting a ton of bandwidth and CPU to decode that thing in order to resize it. So in the Play Store, we actually tell the server, we've plumbed through, like, the size of the view as it's going to be rendered, and that goes to the server, and the server returns it to us at that size.
Okay.
That said, not everyone has that, and often being close enough is good enough. So Volley will, in that decode stage, in the kind of image request that comes out of the box, you can tell it how big you want the image to be. It will download the bytes. It will decode them with a Bitmap Factory. And Bitmap Factory actually has this feature where you can downsize in powers of two. Mm-hmm. And that's that turns out to be fast. So we try to get it to the nearest power of two, and then we resize it to give you exactly the size you asked for. And you can tell it things like, you pass a zero for the width, and it maintains the aspect ratio. You can clamp it to a height or width. You can get an exact size, and it'll stretch and so on.
Okay.
But I think the best solution, if you have the ability and you control image delivery on the server side, is to do resizing on the server side.
Okay. And then the other issue is, so there's, you know, non-deterministic delays in networks or these large assets coming down, and in the meantime, someone has flung the UI. Right, so they're seeing a bunch of information stream by, and you may not actually have the images for that. So how do you deal with that in general? In one sense, maybe it's a question of, like, pre-caching a bunch of stuff that you know they may get to soon, but sometimes they're just going to fling and scroll faster than you have information for. Do you show placeholder images? Do you make things stop and tell the user to stop doing that?
I don't know if I can give you one sentence because you asked me about four questions, but I'll say yes, we do placeholder images just write out. So we, you can say, like, use this resource until the thing comes in, and you can say use that resource if it's an error, and just sort of handle edge cases like that. But I think the more interesting question is, like, what happens when you fling? you know, the naive thing is to queue up all this work, and you sit there and wait and wait and wait and wait while those thumbnails that are like 10 pages off the screen get paged in. That's, again, where canceling plus caching becomes like really powerful, right? Because you really aggressively cancel. So when, you know, like if you get a view recycled, say in your list view, you just cancel the request with it, the image request. And if the user comes back and it's made it through cache, it's going to be really fast. And then you also asked kind of another question around like warming, cache warming of like, you know, getting the next thing down. That's where prioritization is pretty powerful, right? Because you can just say like at low priority, like at your leisure, after you've done all the stuff that's on the screen, just go ahead and like ask for all this stuff and queue it up. And then you can be sure that the high priority on-screen stuff happens first.
Does Volley do any, does it have any graphics or widget code in there, or is that something you would build on top of use of Volley? So if someone wanted to take a list view and add some sort of look ahead thing, is that
more be in the adapter, right?
So it's kind of both. So Volley, if you look at the code, it's divided into two areas. There's kind of like the core of it, which is kind of like the coordinator, like there's classes in there like cache dispatcher, network dispatcher. But Volley also has this sub package called toolbox. So the idea is like I wanted it to like work for most things right out of the box. So technically, like the image request that does the decode to bitmap is not part of the core of Volley. Like anybody could write a request that does that, but we have this kind of like toolbox of things that are really common that come with it. And one of those things is say network image view. So the idea is that you can use that in your XML layouts, and you can say like com Android Volley network image view, and then use it exactly like a normal image view. And then you find it with FindView by ID or whatever when you create your activity, and you can call set image URL on it, and then Volley deals with all the like lifecycle stuff. So when the thing gets detached from its window, we cancel the request. We deal with like the you can set. Resource ID-based placeholder image. It figures out how big the view is and then passes that to image request in order to resize it. And it also does in-memory caching. So one thing that's actually important to think about in caching is that when you cache to disk, you still have to do I/O. So you can't block on the main thread. But if you always defer off the main thread in order to read from cache, it doesn't matter if it takes 5 milliseconds, you're going to flicker the UI. So the only way to do this right and make sure that things like catching something on the other side of a activity rotation actually works is to have like a L1 cache in memory in front of it, where you can know at non-IO, non-blocking speed whether you have something or not. So we have stuff that sits on top of the image request, which ultimately is like a defer callback model, but that will tell you instantly whether, that will provide you with cache instantly. And you can, you know, give it as much of a memory budget as you want.
So speaking of memory, so one of the things that people hit in imaging applications or media applications in general is memory limits, because these are constrained devices. Becoming less so, but still, you bump into memory limits if you start bringing down a whole lot of very large images. Is that something that Volley deals with directly, like in the size of its cache? Does it use heuristics? Does it go query like the available memory and then have some heuristic to like not grow the cache beyond some limit?
I think I believe in sensible defaults. The thing that we've learned kind of the hard way is, I'll say like two really valuable lessons. One is the best cache size for bitmaps is a function of the screen size. Not necessarily available memory size. It turns out that available memory size and screen size are really closely correlated, as I'm sure you know. But what I think the best way to think about it is you kind of imagine, like, here's all the bitmaps I could possibly show on one given screen of my app. And then here's, like, one page of scrolling up, one page of scrolling down. Like, you know, kind of like the back of the envelope calculation is, like, 3x the number of pixels is the amount of memory you need to have in cache. And then, you know, you sort of have, like, a packing problem there where... depending on how big the images are, you know, you can imagine some degenerate cases. And we have logic that you can use. So something like an image that's over some certain size, we just don't even try to cache it. So you don't end up blowing out your cache and losing, you know, 200 valuable thumbnails because somebody got one full screen screenshot or something, like is an example in the Play Store. The other thing that that I think we learned was that it's really tempting to use like soft references and weak references for caching, and it just turns out not to really work. You have to make the commitment to you have to make the commitment to like allocating some memory in order to keep your bitmaps hot, because the VM doesn't like have enough plumbing for you to know that this is important, and we had just too much thrashing. So some of this is kind of expressed in the implementation of Volley. You don't have to think about it, but ultimately, I don't think you can, in a usefully general way, get the logic right of how much you should use. We try to like, you know, do something roughly like 3x the screen size for the default cache, and then, you know, let people go in and tinker if they want.
And then, do you have strategies for dealing with garbage collection? Because that can be a source of jank, right? If all of a sudden the GC has to collect a bunch of information, and then it will at some time stop the world and go do that, and you're in the middle of trying to draw a frame, right?
This is a really hard problem. You know, it's just like whack-a-mole, kind of. I don't have a really great answer here other than, you know, we've done what I think a lot of people do and do pooling of buffers. So we don't have to, you know, you kind of go through the initial hit of generating your garbage, kind of build up your pool, and then you're not churning through stuff so much. But I will say that's one thing where Volley could probably be better, and that kind of design decision I made of bringing back things whole in memory, like, kind of lends itself to making more garbage than you need. So, like, say if you had a streaming thing, you can kind of set your buffer size and, like, I'm just going to run through 16K buffers all day. It can be hard to recycle bitmap memory if you have a lot of variation in the sizes that you're using.
Right. So, actually, do you reuse bitmaps? So there were APIs that came online in the last couple of releases for bitmap reuse. Is that part of it?
No. We do reuse the byte buffers that we read, like, raw encoded image stuff into. But no, like, I think Volley could actually be a bit better at GC.
Okay. Did you have another Gradle question, Tor? I figured you were just storing up more. About that Gradle support.
No, I just know that's something that people asked about, so I was just sort of relaying the question. But
Do you know where this thing is being used? So you came out with it at I.O. last year. And have you gotten feedback on it? Do you know that people are actually using it in the real world in their apps, in addition to whatever we're doing with it internally?
You know what was really funny was I gave this talk, and the talk was, I don't know, like 45 minutes or something, and then I answered questions afterward for nearly 2 hours. And a large number of the questions were not actually questions. They were people who wanted to come up and tell me that they had done a very similar library, and they wanted to tell me about it. I know that a lot of people are using it. You know, we have a mailing list, and people ask questions, and, you know, I've heard about some games. I don't know, I want to put anyone totally on blast here. I think the Expedia app uses it. I got a question from that developer. Maybe I'm totally wrong. I feel sorry, Expedia, if you're not actually using my library. I know, and, like, obviously inside Google, you know, I know people are using it. Like, the Google Wallet app uses it. Some of the Google Play Services code uses it to do their network transport. I don't think it's the end-all be-all, right? Like, it's not for everything. Mm-hmm. A lot of the feedback I got at I.O. Was like, yeah, but, you know, you can't handle this case where I want to download a 100-megabyte video. That's fine. There's a lot of networking libraries in the world, you know, like, you don't have to use this one. So I kind of have a live and let live attitude about it, right, where I think if it's a good fit for you, then you can use it. And you don't have to use only one, right? Like, in the Play Store, for instance, you know, we don't use it to download APK files. We use the download manager to download APK files because it's just a better fit for the use case.
So, actually, speaking of Play Services, so what determines when a piece like this would be appropriate to put in, I don't know, you know, framework or support library, or now there's this other mechanism for Play Services, which are more sort of domain-specific capabilities. Have you talked to them about, you know, should this be something you would provide? I guess it's not a runtime service. It's really something you build with and ship with your app. Like, where is the line for having this be a standalone project as opposed to something we provide?
Yeah, that's a good question. When I originally refactored, it's not that good of a question. I'll give you like a 75%.
I got a 0.75.
Yeah, 0.75, right. Good question. Right. When I originally refactored Volley out of the Play Store and checked it in, it actually was in the support library. But that actually felt wrong to me because it didn't depend on anything in the support library. It was totally clean against the SDK. It felt weird to me to make someone who just wanted to use Volley have to take the whole support library. And yeah, like ProGuard will strip it out if you're not using it, but it just felt kind of a little gross to me. So
yeah, and I think since then, I think we have we're doing a lot more libraries now. There's separate libraries for MediaRouter, AppCompat. Yeah, and I mean there's four or five already. And so I think we're not putting everything in one basket anymore.
That does seem to be like the kind of the way that the tide is going, right? Like some of these other open source libraries, like Square does a bunch of these, right, that are really good. Like I really admire that guy, Jake Wharton. Mm-hmm.
And just to bring it back to Gradle again, with Gradle libraries, we actually can have resources as well. So it's not just a jar file. It actually has resources. And that's when you really do want to have separate libraries, because ProGuard can strip code, but it won't strip resources. So, you know, that really is why you want to have sort of individual libraries that you can choose. But anyway,
so shout out to Jake Wharton, like Retrofit and Picasso, and I think he does a really good job of packaging that stuff up, and much better than me. That's why I guess mea culpa for not making good Gradle Maven integration and making it easy for you to kind of compose what you need to build your app easily. I think that the support library makes a lot of sense in itself, but I don't think you need to necessarily put everything in one basket.
Yep.
To answer your actual question, I think there's some value in having this thing that's really simple that you can put in your app and be sure it's not going to move out from underneath you. It has like constrained some development, right? Like there are things where I'd like to provide stuff like JSON adapters natively, because JSON is just much more pleasant to use than, say, like the JSON object API that comes in the SDK. But I don't want to force people to start taking these transitive dependencies and sucking in a bunch of stuff and dealing with that. So I've kind of taken an approach thus far of providing adapters. Like I have like a gist like in GitHub somewhere that says like, here's one page of code on how you like make a Volley request that uses JSON to decode their JSON objects.
That's a separate project, or this is just an example on the Volley site, just for people that are looking for
it? No, it's like a gist. Like there's like it's like a URL you go to on GitHub, and like I just pasted this thing that the code is actually in my I/O talk. There's a link to the gist if you're looking for it.
Of course, I remember that.
I mean, you just watched it.
I'm sure it's in your notes.
Yeah.
So, why did you call it Volley?
Sure.
Are you a volleyball fan?
I can tell that you didn't watch my talk. It's not volleyball. What I thought of is volley in the sense of sort of imagine a whole bunch of arrows being fired from a bunch of archers to some enemy line or something, where what volley really does most of its time in the Play Store as we used it is running a whole bunch of image requests in parallel. So it's like a volley of a bunch of image requests that then come back as, JPEGs or PNGs to us, and we decode them. So it's keeping a lot of different things in flight at a time.
So you cache the arrows, and then you send back spears and arrows of your own.
It's a very well-organized war.
And
your
sort
turn.
Of a strange,
yeah.
Metaphor.
The Play Store client team has a pretty contentious relationship with the server team.
Who's winning?
I can't say.
Is there anything more about like Play Store? We talked a bunch about Play Store as it connected to what Kirill does. I don't know if there's anything interesting you want to say, maybe in how it uses Volley or just in general.
Yeah, I mentioned we use Volley in it, but not exclusively. We use it for anything that feels kind of like an RPC, like a REST call, but not for big streaming stuff. I think it really finds its sweet spot in things that get data from the network that ultimately ends up in a UI. You can use it for things that you do in the kind of in the background, like if you develop an app that needs to call your server once a day to check for something, or maybe like upload analytics information or something. Like you can use Volley for it, but
does it provide anything over async task? For doing that kind of stuff?
Not particularly. If you, unless you need to cache the result or something, then you get caching for free. A lot of times it's just convenient to have around. Async task,
I guess it doesn't have any of the REST, the HTTP capabilities.
Yeah, it doesn't give you HTTP, but you can call some other thing. I think when you use Volley for background type tasks, it tends to be mostly useful because you had it around and set up already anyway for something you're doing in the UI.
It is the hammer you have.
Precisely.
Okay. I'm all out of questions. 0.75 good and otherwise.
Is there anything else on Volley, or should we talk about anything else you worked on in the past that is interesting?
You want to plug your new CD?
It's actually a multimedia experience. It's a laser disc. coming out
very retro.
Well, you know, I'm a performance artist. No, I'm not. I don't know. Like, I mean, I guess I'll just say, you know, it's been on my to-do list for a while to make Volley a little more developer friendly. I finally have a technical writer helping work up a real manual for it, so that's coming out soon. I bought a domain name for it. I'm not going to say what it is, and I don't know if I'm even supposed to make my own domain name for it, but. It's not clear, like, because it's an independent project, like, does it go on developer.android.com or do we link from there or something? But, you know, I've gotten a lot of requests for documentation and, you know, more than the talk and more than kind of the example code that's out there. I will say, like, I really believe in the narrow use case, right? Like, and rather than trying to do everything, I'd rather be, like, pretty good at, you know, and at nailing one use case. And it's just not that hard to read the source code. Like, the core of it is, you know, like, 1,000 lines of code. You can read in a couple hours. But every line is perfect.
Great to hear. Okay, I think that's all we got. Thanks.
Cool. Thank you.